seagull. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, to be broadcast on January 17th, 2024, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host out here in the background, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can leave comments below, and Fran or I will be able to get back to you, and we can answer any questions or concerns you may have. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening right here on Facebook Live, you can just leave your comments down here below. Or if you're listening to this on an audio file, you can simply email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week. Here comes the cold. Must be winter in Connecticut. I got up this morning to go up to the community center to teach my class, and it was 18 degrees outside. And we are going to hit a whopping 30 degrees here today, so we're not even going to crack freezing. Cold, 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 too cold to ride your bike outside. Unless you are a very, very hardy soul, which
I... Or Dave Wahlberger.
If you're a very hardy soul, or Dave Wahlberger, or somebody else out there that will pretty much ride in any kind of temperatures, good for you. Now I have a limit. And my limit is slowly and steadily changing over the years. So the limit is becoming, I'm a fair weather cyclist, I guess. I guess that's what you call a fair weather cyclist, but that's what I do. It's cold out, and that is rant worthy. Ah, say what department? In the say what department, Farm to Fork Fondo has their last event of July of 2024 in South Hero, Vermont.
And I think I'm going to go.
But of course, this and more in the show. On a positive side, a shout out to the Thread City Cyclers for their annual meeting and potluck dinner event. And shout out to Bill Penn, who one of our members, who walked us through his 4,000-mile cross-country bicycle trip last summer. Pretty cool. Bill did it in kind of an interesting fashion. He used a lot of, or as much of, the rail trails and contained trails as he could as he came across the country. It gets a little sketchy when you get out west, but, you know, it's... There were some long spanses of no trails, or trails that were definitely a little shaky at best. So he did use the roads a lot, too, to do that. But kind of a neat thing, and he gave us a whole story and a presentation last night. So that was kind of cool. And on a positive side, it's Martin Luther King Day. Yeah, a lot of people have the day off. That's what I've been told, anyway, because Fran and I are still doing our thing. Later in the show, we will explore Martin Luther King's transportation dream. Yeah. But, of course, this and more in the show, and Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. What's a fixed gear bike good for? Do I have my little explanation here? I think I do. So, should you buy a fixie or create a fixie or whatever? I'm going to do it. I'm going to create a fixie. I have a single speed bike right now, a cyclocross bike, which I converted over a number of years ago. And I just took an old cyclocross bike that had horizontal dropouts on it so I could slide the wheel back and forth, and voila, you have a single-speed bike. And I love the bike. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool to get out on. It's very, very simple. And if you have a flat area of which to ride it on, which we do with our local airline trail, which is very, very close to our house, then a fixed gear or a single-speed bike is really not a bad deal. But I'm going to give it a try because on my bike, I have what they call a flip-flop hub. So it's threaded on both sides. One side will accommodate a freewheel and the other side will accommodate a fixed gear, of which I have right here in my very hands. So this is a fixed gear and there's a lock ring in here. I got it from State Cycles, which is a kind of a fixie company. So I'm psyched to do this and give it a try and see what it's all about. Because years ago when I was racing my bike, I used to ride on an old track bike in the early season to just try to spin my legs out, kind of forces you to spin your legs out, and also it makes you, well, you're kind of stuck with one gear, so you're going to have to do some bulwark on some of the little climbs and that sort of thing. Problem is, it's really hilly around here, and when you've got 60 feet per mile on the average, fixed gears are not so good. But now that we have this lovely rail trail, this is a cool thing. So I'm going to try riding on a fixie for a little while, see what it does. Now, of course, there's all sorts of controversy on this, and I'm going to talk about that right now. We're going to use this as our show opener. We're going to go right into it. This comes from RoadCC, which is a British site, and traditionally a fixie was the quintessential winter bike for two reasons. You're always pedaling if you're riding a fixed wheel bike. So theory goes that you have to work all the time. No freewheeling means no slacking. Riding a fixie means you make the most of your limited winter riding time. There's some theories about this. So, and I'll explain that in just a minute here. So, the question is single speed for fixed gear riding or off-season training. And let me see if I can pull this guy up here. There we go. This comes from a site called CoachLevi.com, and he has a site here that says, helping you ride stronger, look better, and feel great. Well, you ride a bike, of course you're going to look great, right? Anyway, while a variety of cross-training activities and off-season training methods for cycling, there are a lot of varieties, there's one popular approach to spend some time on a single speed or a fixed gear bike. There is some debate about doing your off-season training using a single speed or a fixed gear road bike because reasons vary, but the most common one is to improve your pedal stroke. And there's a comment about that in a little bit. So yeah, is it going to improve your pedal stroke? That's a really good question. I'm not going to say that there'll be a big difference there. I will say that, you know, all these indoor spin cycles that are out there, they're all basically a fixed gear bike. They're a single speed, and you can change resistance on them, but eventually you basically have a fixed gear or a single speed that you're spinning out. I think that as far as winter training goes, as long as you can keep your RPMs up at a fairly high level, I think it will help you build on your cadence and be able to create hopefully a little faster leg turnover as far as that goes. If you're on a fixie and you can't stop because it's constantly pushing your legs forward, it's going to kind of force you into that that reality. So anyway, a single-speed bike is a bike with a single gear. It has a chain ring, a single cog or a freewheel, and no derailleurs. That means there's no shifting. If you want to climb a hill, you got to muscle it up. On the downhill, you have to spin a fast cadence or coast if you have the freewheel version. But if you don't and you have a fixed gear version, you're going to be winding your legs out very, very rapidly. These things were super popular, I'm going to say, 10 or 15 years ago, maybe even longer, especially popular with bicycle messengers. They really like them because you do have a different type of control on the bike when you're riding on a fixie, because you can, as long as your knees and your legs can handle it, you can slow the bike down very rapidly by not really backpedaling, but hard pedaling it down. I'm not going to call it backpedaling because you just can't pedal backwards. It just doesn't happen. If you do, you will flip over the bars and the rest will be comical for some and not so good for others. So anyway, the fixed gear is, so that would be a single speed. A fixed gear bike is similar to a single speed, but because it has one gear, but it goes one step further. The whole drivetrain is fixed together. As in, if the wheels move forward, the pedals move forward, the wheels move backward, the pedals move backward. So it requires a little bit more skill, I'm going to say, to ride one of these things, a little bit more practice. But these are also sometimes referred to as track bikes, which is what I used to ride on years and years ago. I had picked up an inexpensive steel, I think it was a Genet. Remember that one? Anyway, yeah, we're going back in time. Track bike, and it didn't really have the ability to put a brake on it, so I drilled out the fork crown to put a brake through it so I could actually slow it down by other means than my legs if in an emergency situation. But anyway, all track bikes are fixed gear bikes, but not all fixed gear bikes are track bikes. That's something to be known. Like, I'm using an old cyclocross bike. That way I have brakes front and rear, and that's kind of a nice little thing to have because I like to be able to slow the bike down by other means. And I'm still going to be able to play around with it. So anyway, there's two reasons to ride a single speed. One is they're really a lot easier to maintain in bad weather. There's no gears, okay? Nothing to get gummed up. Maintaining any bicycle is tough when you're riding wet and nasty weather, but most of the time, consuming task is dealing with the drivetrain. With just one gear, a single speed's drivetrain is simplified. There are no derailleurs, no shifters, no cables. There's just one ring, one cog, and the chain, and that's it. You will no longer have to deal with gunk on the cables, frozen derailleurs, grit between cassette cogs, etc. That's probably a favorite reason for riding on a fixed gear. It's pretty much a no-brainer. There's not a lot going on. And here's the number two reason, a good reason why you might want to ride a single speed. It's fun to kind of switch things up a little bit and avoid a little boredom on the bike. Sometimes we get into the winter time and we've been on our bikes for a really long time, or we're just getting back on our bikes and not so enthusiastic about getting going because, you know, it's cold, you gotta bundle up, you gotta deal with all that. And maybe you're just a little, you know, a little, oh, I don't know what I want to call it, but a little burned out from being on your bike all the time. So you want to try something a little bit different, say, try Fixie and get on that. And so that's why I have more than one bike. I have different bikes that I use for different things. And that way I kind of keep things all mixed up. And by keeping them mixed up, it keeps my interest in the bike a lot stronger because of that. Because one day I'll look at the weather and I'll go, this is not such a good day to be out on the road. There's, you know, 30-mile-an-hour winds with 50-mile-an-hour gusts. That's not a good day to be on the road. But, you know, on a fixie, you can just kind of go out and mess around a little bit, put an hour in, get back home. All's good, right? So, like, you know, you have a usual route you ride, and then you decide to mix it up a little bit, so you ride it in the opposite direction as a way to mix things up. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this, but riding a single speed forces you to learn a lot more about momentum, using various cadences in general. It's kind of a lot of fun. It's kind of a cool thing. So no special training plans are required. You just go out and ride like normal. The only difference is the bike. Both those benefits come from a single speed or a fixed gear. So either one is recommended if you want to give this a try. I think it's fun. But What about your improving your pedal stroke? So here's the big question. This is the one that comes out. And the reasons why we used to ride them years ago, this was one of those reasons. That's why they call it old school. Because sometimes old school is not exactly the same as, you know, what we've learned along the way. And so you might have expected that reason number three for riding a fixie is going to be improved pedal stroke. But you know what? It really isn't. And I'll get into that. It's kind of a myth and it's kind of flawed logic. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you want to get your first single speed, you know, they still make them out there. They're still fixies or single speed bikes available, lots of them out there. Still a number of manufacturers that do present them in their lineups, although they're not nearly as popular as they were years ago. When I was working for Bianchi Bicycles, we had a lineup of fixed gear or single speed bicycles. Most of our single speed bicycles had a flip flop hub, and that enabled you to make it into a fixed gear if you wanted to, but they came with freewheels. And so, like I said, they are out there. They're relatively inexpensive in comparison to a derailleur bike, because a derailleur bike is going to have a lot more stuff on it. So therefore, those things all add up in expense. And a single speed is just two gears. That's it. The one in the front and the one in the back, which makes it a single speed. So it's really, really fun to, you know, have an experience with this. So let's go on to the myth. Okay, riding a fixed gear bike does not improve pedal stroke, all right? It's always been touted as a way to improve your pedal stroke, and some coaches believe this, and numerous riders echo the sentiment every time they discuss off-season training. But there is no real proof or even logic to support the notion that a fixed gear setup will improve your pedal stroke. If anything, it might make your pedal stroke worse. Why would it make it worse? That's a good question. Maybe because you're going to end up pushing too big of a gear, and it's not going to be the same kind of flow as you'd have if you had a multi-speed bike, so you can keep your cadence real smooth. That's a possibility. That would be probably the only thing that I would say is the real noticeable thing here. As I'm reading this right here, the myth came about because of how one has a circular pedal stroke when riding a fixed gear. That's true, but the problem with this is the bike is doing all the work, not the rider. The rider's feet are just going along for the ride, so to speak. So anyone who hops on a fixed gear is going to have a perfect pedal stroke. But the question is, how good will their pedal stroke be once they get back onto a regular bike? In most cases, it might be worse. Since the fixed gear is like a crutch helping you along, as soon as you go back to a regular bike, you won't have that help, and your pedal stroke will be the same as it was before or worse. Which brings me to, what is the best thing to do here? So the fixed gear really did a little bit more of the work for you. It's a great way to get yourself out and get you to, you know, just spin your legs out, because it does help you to a certain degree, as does an indoor spin type trainer bike. Same thing. But if you're really looking for a way to improve your pedal stroke, you got to go in a different direction. And you can also do this on a fixed gear. You can do this on a multi-speed bike. You can do it on a single-speed bike, which has a cassette on it. But and if you don't believe this, let's take it from Greg LeMond, okay? He visited a local shop, so he got some advice about training methods. When asked about riding a fixed gear, his opinion was, what's the point? The only thing a fixed gear could teach you is something basic, like not to apply backwards pressure while you're in the middle of a pedal stroke, because if you do, the back wheel comes up off the ground and flip you over, you go, and that's that. So It'll just kind of keep you with a continuation of the stroke. It's probably more of a memory issue, but if you want to really improve your pedal stroke, the really great way to do it is one-legged drills. One-legged drills make a huge difference. I teach them every Sunday morning at my extreme spin class. We go through one-legged drills, and it's all part of the warm-up, and I tell people they can handle it either in two different ways. One is they could clip out one of their legs. If we're going to do a right leg, one-legged drill, you take the left leg out of the pedal completely, kind of hold it off to the side, and just pedal with the one leg as you go around. The other way to do it, and my preferred method, is to leave that other leg in the pedal and just using your brain, shutting off one side and not using the left leg at all while you pedal through with the right leg. You'll be really surprised. It takes a little while. It takes a little bit more concentration, a little more skill to do that sort of thing. But once you get it down, you'll be able to switch back and forth between one leg and another leg. And I like to switch back and forth in like 10 to 15 seconds at the most. So it's easier to keep your foot on the pedal if you do that sort of thing. Not everybody likes to do that, so they go and they clip in, and we hear a lot of noise in the spin classes. Everybody's clipping their feet back in, trying to get ready for the next side. But if you want to get into the habit of pedaling constantly, if you're really, really looking for that, there's one and only one answer out there, and this is also a great way to increase your skills on your bike. It is also a great way to increase your cadence on the bike, and I'm not talking about an indoor trainer. I'm not talking about a spin bike. I'm talking about rollers. Rollers are great. You get a set of rollers, and it costs less than the fixed gear bike does, even a really good set of rollers, and you can do, you can even do one-legged pedaling drills on it if you're that good. Let me tell you how hard it is to do a one-legged drill on a set of rollers. Very, very, very difficult. So that is something I don't encourage right away until you just feel so incredibly comfortable with being on the rollers that you might be able to pull that off. But one-legged drills, that's it. That's the real answer. You want to increase or improve your pedal stroke, it's all about the one-legged drills. And that's what this author says right here, and I totally agree with him, because I've been down this road before, and I can tell you there is a really, really big difference when you go to one-legged drills. I like to do my one-legged drills out on the our local rail trail is a great place to do it, because there are segments of our trail that are a 2% grade, because they didn't really make the rail trails any more than 2%, because it was a big, heavy train pulling a lot of weight, and if you put any more of a hill into it, it just really defeated the purpose of trying to pull all that cargo behind you. So It's a already naturally occurring 2% grade in a lot of places. It can also be a 2% drop coming down the other side of it. So that gives you a chance to spin out and, you know, really kind of wind your legs out and turn them over really quickly. But the one-legged drills are very, very effective when you have a little bit of grade against you, because they're putting pressure on your pedals. They're making you pedal through your pedal stroke. And Greg LeMond wrote it in his book, and he said, think of it as scraping mud off the bottom of your shoe. Or he might have said something other than mud. But anyway, it was it's a thing. Yeah, sometimes you step in things and you have to scrape them off the bottom of your shoe. So, you know, whatever. But think of it as scraping mud off the bottom of your shoe, because this is a kid-friendly video that we're doing here. Chocolate pudding off the bottom of your shoe. Sure, that's great. Banana peel off the bottom of your shoe. Whatever you want to use. But anyway, just think of it as scraping mud off the bottom of your shoe as you pull through the bottom of the stroke. So the pedal stroke is combined. It is basically a four-stroke or a four-position effort. So you're going to be pushing through the top of the stroke, and that is going to be from, we're going to look at a clock for this. Say from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, you're pushing through the top of the stroke. From 1 o'clock down to 5 o'clock, you're pushing down on the pedal stroke. That's your power stroke right there. And then the second part of your power stroke is when you get to 5 o'clock and you're pulling back to 7 o'clock, you're drawing your leg through or scraping the mud off the bottom of your shoe. So that's like a really, really important thing to practice. And then when you get to 7 o'clock and you're going up to 11, you're actually pulling up. When you start putting this all in combination with one leg, not two legs, with one leg, you start to really, really understand what you're probably not doing on your bike right now. And, you know, it's up to you. I mean, if you're just riding your bike for pleasure and you don't really care, no big deal. But if you are being more technical about your bike riding, you're being more technical about your fitness, and you really want to improve in some way your fitness, this is the way to do it. It's just another method that you can use that's a little different than all the other things that we discuss on this show and all the other things that we do in the winter. But mostly, it's not sitting on the couch. It's getting out and doing something. So that's a good thing. And consistency, of course, is very, very good. That's what we really appreciate here. And so anyway, that's the single speed story. That's what I got. That's your fixie story. I think they're really cool. I will have more feedback on my little alteration here. Hopefully by next show, but I'm not real sure because we are just due for some really nasty cold weather this next week. And I'm not really sure how excited I'm going to be to go out and ride outside on my new fixie setup on my single speed bike. So we'll just have to see how that goes. I have a funny feeling it'll be a few weeks before I can report back on this. But it will be fun. I chose the exact same gears I have on the other side of the bike, so it's the same cog size in the back so that I can very easily flip the wheel around back and forth and not have to worry about, you know, changing chain lengths or anything like that. So it's just going to be the same gear. That's all. It's just going to be always driving me forward. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm always looking for new and crazy entertaining ways of keeping my interest in cycling. Not that I'm not interested in cycling. I'm on my bike almost every day. Even this time of year, being that it is the indoor training time of the year, I'm still putting in about 10 hours a week on my bike. So that's what it is. And maybe next week or some other week, I'll talk to you about hours versus miles. I want you to just plug that one into your brain for a little while, and we'll talk about that later. I have many, many, many people who come up to me and say, well, how much do you ride? I mean, how many miles a week do you ride? And I just look at them and go, I don't really log that. I look at it more as time spent in the saddle, and which I think is a much more important and a mentally healthier way of looking at riding your bike and keeping your fitness. But that's just me. I'm an opinionated guy. That's what I do. This is Bicycle Talk, and that's what we do. Anyway, we'll talk about that on another show. Maybe I'll make a little note here at the end of my show and remember to talk about time versus miles. But I just have seen so many people get obsessed with the mile thing, and that becomes a very unhealthy mental experience. So let's move on. Note that I am wearing a jersey with a chicken riding on a bicycle. This is one of the many designs that came out from the Farmer Fork Fondo over the past 10 years. And I did start with these guys way, way, way back in my bicycle rep years, which was I was working for Bianchi Bicycles, and Bianchi Bicycles was one of the sponsors for this particular event. So I saw the Facebook post come out, and It comes out and it says, join us July 14th, 2024 at the Snow Farm Vineyard and Winery in South Hero, Vermont for the final edition of the Farm to Fork Fondo. This will be our 10th anniversary, our last edition, and the best Farm to Fork Fondo yet, period. We can't wait to make new memories and say goodbye in style to all the great friends we've made over the years. Thank you for your miles and miles of magical experiences along the way. See you in July for the last Fondo. We're talking about July 13th and 14th of 2024. It is on the Champlain Islands in South Hero, Vermont, and there is a farm benefit dinner and all the other things that you would experience at a Farm to Fork Fondo. And the beauty of the Champlain Islands, so it seems anyway, a lot of people really like that ride a lot, is if you know anything about Vermont, Vermont ain't flat and is riddled with big, big mountains and big passes and very, very steep climbs. But when you get onto the Champlain Islands, the highest point is 278 feet. So it's pretty darn flat, and that is really nice. There's very gentle rollers out there. There's nothing really nasty as far as climbs go. So it has become a really, really popular spot for Farm to Fork Fondos. I remember in our peak years out there, we were pretty much drawing 1,000 riders to show up. We had a lot of riders that came down from Canada because we're an hour away from Montreal. And so that was kind of a neat thing. But it's a very pleasant experience. It starts and finishes at a big vineyard. It's just a big party and a lot of fun. So anyway, I wrote back when I saw this on Facebook this morning. Actually, it came out yesterday, I think. I said, so sorry to read this. It has been my pleasure to work with you as the Bianchi rep originally, and then the voice of the Farm to Fork Fondo, and also as a ride leader on weekend getaways, not to mention helping keep things alive during the COVID years, and looking forward to the final shout out in July. Your old pal, Peddlin' Ron at Bicycle Talk. So, yeah, it'll be my last formal appearance with these guys. I don't know what the future holds. It does look like they're still doing weekend getaways, so there will still be some smaller tours going on, but I'm not sure. I haven't really picked up any details from them. As soon as I hear from them, I'll let you know a little bit more about what's going on with them, because they are very, very popular. But, you know, times have changed, and I've talked to more people out there that are managing events and about numbers and where things are going. And there's a few things that are growing. The gravel rides are growing. They seem to have some merit to them as far as, you know, building up an event goes. But, you know, we'll see how long that lasts too. We don't really know. But I know that the Natchog Epic, which is coming up in March, which, by the way, if you haven't signed up yet, some of those are sold out already. I have more information on that towards the end of the show, but very, very, very popular, really popular. And if you do the Natchog Epic, of course, you get to see my little corner of the world, northeastern Connecticut, which is very rural and very pretty and very hilly. And that's just what we have out here. It's not like there's anything extreme out here as far as the hills go, but they never stop. You're either going up or you're going down. And so that's why it just rolls and rolls and rolls. And we are riddled with lots of double-digit rolls. So they'll be riding along and you'll see a hill up in front of you and go, wow, that looks pretty steep. And then, of course, you'll look down at your computer and see that you're going up a 13% grade. And that can be a little alarming if you live in an area that doesn't have hills. So it's a little bit more challenging here. But it's beautiful here. It's absolutely beautiful. Like I said, very rural. 3.5 million people live in the state of Connecticut. 3 million of them live on the west side of the Connecticut River. We are on the east side of the Connecticut River. I'll let you do the math, but I can tell you that southeastern Connecticut is more populated than northeastern Connecticut is. It's why I live here. It's why I'm not going anywhere. I mean, yeah, we got to deal with winter. Winter kind of stinks, and it's not really a great time of year for riding your bike outdoors. But boy, once the weather breaks, this is just a great place to ride a bike. It's so beautiful out here. And the other bonus is, hey, if you're more challenged on the hills than you used to be, or you're just challenged in the hills in general, or maybe you have a medical condition that's crept up with you over the years, and now riding in the big hills is just not what it used to be, and it's not really good for you, consider an e-bike. E-bikes are great. The new e-road bikes are slick. They're really cool, and they'll get you where you want to go. And you know I've talked about this a lot on the show, and that's a shout-out to Billy and to Don and to others that have purchased these kind of mid to high-level road bikes that are e-bikes. It's kind of cool. You can get over things that you used to go, nope, I'm not going to go that way. I know what that is. I'm going to end up having to walk up that hill. You don't have to walk up the hill anymore. You can just ride up the hill, have a little assistance. And to me, that is not cheating. It is enjoying your day. That's what I call it. So I will not have a very strong opinion on that one, other than I think they're good. So this is it for the Farm to Fork Fondo. It's really kind of sad, right? Quite honestly, you know, I got introduced to it years and years ago when one of the, I think that was actually the first Farm to Fork Fondo. It was in New York. It was the original Hudson Valley tour, and the rep for Bianchi over there called me last minute, and she said, "Hey, Ron, what are you doing this weekend?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that." She goes, "Could you come out and help me, please? Because I don't know nearly as much about bikes as you do, and I'm there to represent the line, and I feel really uncomfortable about it." And, you know, Elizabeth was a sweetheart. Everyone loved Elizabeth. Everyone loved buying bikes from Elizabeth. She was just a lovely woman and a great personality. She also retired, I think, within the last couple of years. She's retired from the industry now, too. But she was just feeling a little uncomfortable with being there all by herself. So I said, "Yeah, I'll come out and do that. I can come out and help you with that." And Fran came with me, and it was a miserable day. It was like pouring rain, cold, and the start finish was on top of a huge hill, and it was just it wasn't a real fun time. But you know, that was the first one, and that was my introduction to Farm to Fork Fondo and to Tyler Wren, who owns Renegade Sports, who has been promoting this for a number of years. And the rest kind of became history. I was the Bianchi rep for a few more years. They started expanding. I started traveling a little more with them to help out with Bianchi, and then Bianchi pulled the plug on me. As many changes happen in the bicycle industry, if you're aware of that sort of thing. So I was no longer the Bianchi rep. I was still repping, but I wasn't repping for Bianchi. And Tyler ended up, I ended up answering an ad, believe it or not, on his website, that under the jobs section, and he was looking for an announcer, and I took the job because I'm a guy who can't seem to shut up about riding bicycles. Good thing, right? If you're an announcer. So I bring my enthusiasm with me and my energy with me, and I've been announcing events for them ever since that time. I also, as COVID came along, and there had to be a really major restructure of what they were doing, I was no longer announcing events because we were no longer gathering large groups of people because of COVID. But Tyler came up with a way to have these small mini tours and do them safely. We never had one episode of COVID during all of those. And we were leading these, you know, anywhere from 15 to 25 person tours. And, you know, just following the rules, paying attention, and people were just thrilled to get out of their apartments, their houses, and whatever, and get out and ride their bike with other people and socialize with other people again. So that was kind of cool. And so then I became a tour leader as well as an announcer for their events. So that's kind of fun. And I still do that for them, too, on some of the mini tours. It's also, like I said, it's a lot of fun. And I do the same thing, both announcing and also tour leading or sweeping for my friend Richard Fries, who is doing the Natchog Epic, and he also does another big gravel ride all the way over the other side of the state over at Lime Rock, and that's the Lime Rock Classic or Lime Rock Epic also. So pretty cool stuff, and it's really fun to go out and ride bikes with people and share your stories and help them if they're having trouble. I get an immense amount of pleasure from it, and that is my, I guess that is my next calling and phase in life as far as that goes, but helping people as much as I can to hopefully get them to understand the passion and of what I enjoy and pass it on to them. In most cases, it works. So anyway, the end of the Farm to Fork Fondo. Sad. Aww. 10 years, long time. Full decade, and you know, but things change. And like I said, talking to other event organizers like myself, I am finding that, you know, numbers are definitely crumbling a bit, especially with road rides. I don't know what to say about it. I don't know what to do about it, but that's what it is. Cyclocross numbers, also some of the smaller races like mine, the numbers are definitely in that crumbling area, although we're not down enough to pull the plug on it. And, you know, unfortunately, I do run it like a business, and maybe that's not unfortunate, but I do run it like a business. So the day that I can't make enough money on it to be able to give the money back to the nonprofits that we support and all that will probably be the last day I do that too. But so far, pretty good. And I just got out of a meeting with the Connecticut Cyclocross Championship group. There's like five different races that are involved in that. And, you know, we were talking about 2024, and hopefully we'll have a calendar together and be up and running by my deadline is the end of February. I want everything in place by the end of February. And that is how early you have to start organizing an event that you're putting on in October. And the Steeplechase Bike Tour, which I'm also involved with, we have our first meeting coming up really soon. I have to look at my calendar and see when that is. But that'll be our first meeting for an August event. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into this. It's not as easy and seamless as it seems when you get there and you look around and go, wow, this is really cool. This is really well organized, really cool. A lot of effort, a lot of people, a lot of people power, a lot of volunteers, a lot of energy goes into putting on an event. And I get it. I totally get it. And Tyler was running this as a business, and he was also donating money back to the farms programs, and it's all great cause, all really, really good cause. And, you know, nothing delighted me more than taking someone right out of New York City who just didn't know a whole lot about the country and taking them out for a beautiful bike tour in the country and just seeing their faces light up. And it's definitely cool. Anyway, end of that. Let's move forward. Martin Luther King. Yeah, it's Martin Luther King Day. I taught a class this morning in the community center, and I started it with his speech, the famous speech that he had from, I believe, the bridge. And I started out with a little audio from that, and then jumped right into some Martin Luther King music that I have, like Riding with the King from Eric Clapton and B.B. King, and also Ben Harper, Like a King. A lot of Martin Luther King references, a lot of different references about, you know, social justice and that sort of thing in my playlist this morning. So people really like it, and I rarely get a chance that Martin Luther King Day lands on a day that I'm teaching, so I got to do that today. That was a lot of fun. So, but let's go to, let's see if I can find this in here. So this is from Forbes, and it's it was written by Salika Josiah Talbot, and it was it's called MLK's Transportation Dream. So obviously, if you are living and breathing here in the United States, you probably know who Martin Luther King was, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was born in 1929. He died in 1968, tragically, because he was murdered. And that was just a really sad day, because he was a really strong civil rights leader, and he did a lot of really good things. Prominent civil rights advocate, believed everyone should have equitable access to mobility regardless of their race or economic status. His message emphasized the importance of not only desegregating public transportation, but ensuring that all individuals had the right to travel freely. And if you ride a bike, you know what it's like to travel freely. His advocacy extended to various forms of transportation, from buses to trains, and his speeches and interviews helped to raise awareness about how transportation equity was a substantial part of the civil rights movement. He encouraged people to envision a society where there were no barriers, especially in public transportation. His work and leadership played a significant role in bringing about changes in transportation policies and practices to promote equal access and rights for all individuals. His activism should continue to inspire efforts to address transportation-related inequities and ensure that transportation systems are inclusive and accessible to people of all backgrounds. His legacy should serve as a powerful reminder of the importance of creating transportation infrastructure and policies that promote free movement and justice for us all. Yes, this does include pedestrians and cyclists, which is why I bring it up today. And of course, it is a good thing to talk about, because Martin Luther King is one of those influential people that made a really, really big difference in a lot of things that we are living through today. It's a little sad what's going on today as far as some of the changes that are going on and some of the people that have fallen into the, I'm going to call it the social media trap of believing things that aren't necessarily true in on either side, I will say. It's really kind of sad. But you know, we need to think about this guy and think about what he did and how much he got done, and the message is one that we can all benefit from: a national infrastructure that respects and supports mobility no matter the circumstance. Whether you fly, sail, or deliver goods, or receive medicine, travel to school or grandma's house, this message implores government as well as industry to make things better for not just a few or the favored, but for all mankind. Accessible, sustainable, safe, effective, affordable, and innovative transportation. So, tip of the cycling cap to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was extremely influential in the start of the advocacy that we talk about here a lot on Bicycle Talk. And, you know, happy Martin Luther King Day. Enjoy. Okay, next on my list. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Things are wild in the bicycle racing world. Yeah, it's all true. We've got we got some crazy stuff going on out there. And if I can just get my screen to pop back up here, I can talk to you all about it. I lost it. So, Matthew Vanderpoel. So, Matthew Vanderpoel is just out of control in the cross world. He has won 10 victories in cyclocross. 10. He is eating everything up. And it was the last one, which was on the, let's see, what this is, one, so the 7th of January, so it's just a week ago. He had a 20-second advantage at the Cyclocross World Cup in Zonhoven. Vanderpool admitted he held back during the race, attacking in the fourth lap and building an unassessable lead. Puck Pertis won the women's race after rival Lucinda Brand crashed during the race and was unable to continue. By the way, Lucinda Brand broke her nose. That's what happened in that. So I just read something else about that. And she's going to continue. She said, I'm not, you know, that's just a minor setback. Oof. God, these people are really, really tough. So this is the reigning world champion. We've talked about him a lot on the show. We know how strong he is and how powerful he is. He's got Wout Van Aert and Tom Pidcock as his main rivals. And they definitely are struggling to stay with him because he's just riding so incredibly strong. I talked last week about the people that are, you know, the fans that are upset because he's winning everything and they're spitting on him and spilling beer on him and putting urine in their cups and spilling that on him. I mean, but that's another story that came from last week's episode. You know, Source Sports, folks, you know, the guy's good. Let him be good. Let him be good. He's a legacy. He comes from a legacy. He's got a lot of history behind him. And good for Matthew. Wout Van Aert, I think I had a comment here on this. He was shocked at the margin of at Ball Cyclocross, which was a week before that. That was on the 2nd of January. And admitted his surprise as the super strong Matthew Vanderpool dominated another race to beat the Belgian by almost 2 minutes. 2 minutes off of Wout Van Aert. Think about that. Wout Van Aert's a very, very strong rider, a very, very accomplished cyclocross rider. But they asked him if he was concerned, and he admitted he was not too concerned. Is this a disappointment? I had hoped to make it more difficult, but I know what I'm doing, he said. So we'll see. Some of the highlights of this stuff, unbelievable. The mud is just, it's Belgian mud, man. It's great. Great sloppy, gushy stuff. And, you know, lots of sliding on the bike side to side as they power their way through these ridiculous, you know, batches of mud. And it's, of course, always raining there this time of year. So it's just been crazy. Just been crazy. And Matthew Vanderpool is on fire. So who do you think is going to win the Worlds this year? Well, I guess we know who the favorite is. He's after another world championship jersey, and we'll just have to see what happens. He's just, you know, riding extremely strong. Both of these guys, you know, they raced as juniors, and they've been working their way through this for years. And he is definitely above and beyond the level of Wout Van Aert right now, which is kind of amazing. So there's a couple more races remaining, and we'll see before we get to the world. So we'll see what happens out there. But who can touch him? Anybody have any predictions there? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are as far as that goes. I think I got my money on Vanderpool. He looks pretty darn strong and pretty untouchable. You know, it is cyclocross. Anything can happen. You know, bikes can break, crashes can occur. It all happens. But I would say that he's pretty much the king of the off-road right now. So go Matthew. Yay, Matthew. We'll see. Anyway, let's see. What else do I have here? the Tour Down Under. The Tour Down Under just finished for the women, and it is now just starting for the men. And Julian Alaphilippe is looking at this as a great starting point for his season. So we'll see what happens there. He seems very optimistic about it, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I've always liked Julian. I always think he's a whole lot of fun to watch, and I hope he does well this year. But as we look at these guys, I hate to say this because, you know, I'm such an old guy, but they're getting older. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. And we have all these unbelievable young riders coming up through the ranks. So anything could happen. Anything could happen. But never underestimate the cunning and the tactics and knowledge of an older rider, because sometimes they can fool you. They may not be as strong as you are, but they might just know how to go, when to go, and where to go. That's the way I always look at it. So that's why I love bicycle racing. By the way, if you are looking to watch the Tour Down Under, then you would be best to watch it on, there's a couple of different places you can go here with this, and you can watch it on Peacock or on Flowbikes. So it is available on U.S. media. If you have either of those medias to watch, you can definitely do that. Going on to events as we finish up our show here today, the Natjog Epic. Yeah, domesticevents.com is where you want to go to look for that. Or you can just simply go to Bike Reg and you can check that out. Last week, I told you there were 337 people pre-registered for an 850 limit ride. And that the men's epic, the 82-mile ride, was already sold out last week. Today, that number goes from 337 to 363. So people are rapidly hopping on board. It's a classic. It's a whole lot of fun. It's in March. So it's on the 24th of March. So anything goes. I can't tell you what the weather's like. It's a kind of a pre-register only type event, so if you want to do it, you kind of have to sign up and bite the bullet the day it happens. I've seen snow on the 24th of March. I've seen freezing rain on the 24th of March. I've seen downpour rain. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Yes, James, I have. Yeah. And I've you know, also seen beautiful, gorgeous, sunny days. So that I thought would never end. sorry,
probably
Fran.
Probably see me again.
Sorry, Fran. I had to go there. You opened that door. I went did. There. So anyway, check it out. It's really cool. It's on Bike Reg, and it's filling up rapidly, so I would strongly recommend that you take a look at this one. It's a wonderful event. It's a lot of fun. Really good time. 82-mile ride, 60-mile ride, 45-mile ride, and 32-mile ride. If you really wanted to do that 82-mile ride, there is a waiting list. So you could always go on the waiting list. And it is on the it's on the Bike Reg site. So you can always put your name in there, and something comes up in the last minute, maybe you get space and you'll be able to do it. But I will be doing the 32-mile ride as I did last year. I'm kind of sort of sweeping it. I'm kind of, you know, hanging out in the back, making sure that everybody gets in safely. And I can't wait for the Cuisinator this year. Should be a good time. So anyway, moving forward from there. What about a single speed? Are you thinking about it? What's your opinion? You know, I thought this would be a good discussion to bring up, for sure. It's different. It's different. It's just a different way to get yourself excited about your season. And again, you know, as I said earlier, you're putting in time on the bike at this point. So it's all a good thing. We got the Worlds coming up really, really soon for the World Cyclocross Championships. That should be a really good time. Are you thinking maybe of doing the last Farm to Fork Fondo in Champlain Islands? This is the time to sign up for it. And, you know, it's going to be a real loss, I believe, in our cycling world. But, you know, it was a good 10 years. And shout out to Tyler and Andrew and all the rest of the crew that work with them. I'll say it again. Won't be my last time. I want you to get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park your car or truck, and ride your bike instead. You might just surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, Fran Storch. We talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You can, if you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, you can comment below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk, @gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It just might save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening.